We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation on this Monday afternoon. Another edition of KFTV's lunchtime live stream playoff edition. CP the Franchise here returning to the show. It's one of my favorites in the business, man. Longtime NBA analyst. You can hear him on NBA weekends on SiriusXM Channel 86 with our guy Sam Mitchell, man. It is Brian Gelsiler in the building. And in just a couple minutes, we will hear from one of the voices of the New York Knicks who called a legendary game on game one. Gus Johnson will be tuning in. We'll put the covers on game one and dish on game two. Game two tonight at the Garden, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. So lock in and hit that thumbs up button for you boys. All right. At the same time, I think we have Gus here. Let's tap in. Gus, are you there?
What's going on, baby?
Gus, how are you, man? CP the Franchise here and Brian Gelsiler from NBA Radio in the building. Thanks for joining us.
Ah, man, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Gus, I had to bring you in because after game one, the fans they want more Gus Johnson. They call game one the Gus cast because, you know, it's nothing like a cardiac Knicks affair with you calling it. Give us a description of that atmosphere when you were calling that game.
Oh, man, that was incredible. You know, the Garden is the Garden. They call it the world's most famous arena for a reason. And game one, Knicks Sixers, was the perfect example of why that name exists, because the crowd was just fascinated with the game and they were electric and engaged. It's just one of those moments, man, when you say to yourself, you kind of pinch yourself. You're like, wow, I get an opportunity in this little life of mine to see this kind of collective effervescence, everybody connected, everybody happy and feeling a certain kind of joy and exuberance. And the team ended up going on to win the game in dramatic fashion against a really, really good Philadelphia squad and a superstar of a talent in Joel Embiid. And oh my gosh, it was just so many wonderful plays in that game from both teams. It was just awesome to be a part of.
So, Gus.
Hello.
Gus.
Yes, sir.
Brian Gelsiler here. How are you, sir? First of all, everybody needs more Gus Johnson in their life. That I'll tell you right now. All right? So, you know, Embiid leaves the game on what was a wild play, the whole, like, off the backboard, and I'm going to go ahead and dunk it thing, and comes down wrong. Comes back in the game and looks really good when he comes back in the game. Is there a shelf life on this, Gus? Like, how long can this go? And this is the second time in three games Joel Embiid has left the game and something that's looked bad and come back in the game. It would seem to me this cycle has a shelf life of what's happening with Embiid here in this series. And we could see it early on. The Knicks are relentless. They don't give an inch. and they're really stacked at the five position. Robinson was particularly good in this game. But you think they can keep getting this kind of production out of Joel Embiid when he's clearly playing on one really bad knee?
Well, let's hope so, man. He's such an incredible talent. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that bounce pass that he threw leading the break to Kelly Oubre. I mean,
yes,
he threw it on an angle. He threw it with precision, with pace, and caught Oubre in stride for an easy layup. Now, this is a 7-2 center leading the fast break. He is turning out to be the evolution. He's showing us the evolution of the game of basketball, 7-2 guy with all these incredible skills. And I think Joel, hopefully, he will be able to play this whole series because you want to see the best players. He is gimpy, it feels like. He's trying to knock some of that rust off. And I think he's a little dramatic as well. He's always been a little just dramatic, always falling down all the time and whatnot. But hopefully he'll be fine. And hopefully there isn't, as you mentioned, a shelf life. But I'm sure the Knicks will be prepared one way or the other.
Yeah, when he went down, Gus, I mean, there was silence in the Garden. The entire Philly bench.
I don't understand why he would throw it off the backboard and dunk it, but I guess instincts. He couldn't even help it. Because he's an incredible player.
Yeah.
So, but that was kind of a reckless move, if you ask me.
Yeah, and there was certainly silence in the Garden, the entire Philly bench surrounding Joel Embiid. If I'm the Knicks, I don't take him lightly. You know, this is still an MVP, and even if he's 75-80%, I think he can still impact the game. You saw in the second half of that game where he was using his size to set screens, free up Tyrese Maxey. Maxey with 12 points in that third quarter, another 5 in the fourth. Joel Embiid still capable of hitting those outside shots. And one thing I did not like that from the Knicks starters is that, you know, they had him camped in the paint. Nobody wanted to challenge Joel Embiid and attack the basket. And I thought that's what, you know, made that Knicks starting unit kind of boggle down offensively and not really get the ball moving.
Yeah, but you have to give a lot of credit to Mitchell Robinson. Has missed a lot of games this year because of a foot injury. And he's coming off the bench now with Hartenstein as the starter. But he got in there. He changed the pace of the game along with Miles McBride hitting shots. And he defended the best player in the world, the MVP of the NBA, as well as he could. And he made him work hard. And that's what Mitchell did. And I think that for the Knicks, to continue to get that kind of effort is what is the strength of their team going into this playoff series and going into the playoffs in general. And that's what I like to see. Joel Embiid, when healthy, is going to get his. When he's not healthy, he's still going to get a reasonable facsimile of what he does. He's going to get his. So that goes without saying. But I think collectively as a team, you know, after being down 13, 14 points early and then coming back, taking a bigger lead and then losing that lead and then figuring out a way to win the game. I thought that was phenomenal, and hopefully they can keep it up.
Yeah, Gus, I'm glad you brought up Mitchell Robinson here because I will tell you, to me, outside of Jalen Brunson, as long as Joel Embiid's on the floor in this series, he's the Knicks' second most important player. Because what you – and all due credit to Isaiah Hartenstein, who really has had a terrific season. Embiid is one of the few fives in the league that's just too damn strong for him. So what's going to happen with Hartenstein is Embiid's going to get to do some things in the paint out of sheer strength. People look at Mitchell Robinson. They don't realize how strong this dude is. You know, they pushed Mobley and Allen around last year in the playoffs. He dominated that series on the offensive glass. Here, he made a huge difference in this game only for the point – that Embiid cannot push him around in the paint and go wherever he wants. And I will say this, Gus, and I'm curious to get your take. Any possession that the New York Knicks have, well, when Joel Embiid is hoisting a shot that's not in the paint, that is anywhere from 18 feet to outside the three-point line, that's a win for the Knicks. You'll live with him hitting a couple of those because the more he takes, the more he's going to miss. Where Embiid kills you, and not only scoring, but passing-wise, because you have to collapse on him, is when he's able to get into his spots in the paint. Robinson, at you know, 7 feet, 280 pounds, and he ain't fat. The dude's a rock.
Yeah.
He keeps Embiid from going where he wants. I couldn't have been more impressed with Mitchell Robinson's activity level, his strength. I thought it was an incredible, meaningful piece to that win the other night.
Yeah, I think it's really what you're alluding to without saying it is effort. And that's what you like with this Knicks squad. It's effort. They're committed. They're determined. They're connected. Joel Embiid is one of the few players in the league as a center that, you're right, can play with his back to the basket. And not only can he, but they encourage him to do that. They give him the ball in those spots to work down low, just very similar to Nikola Jokic with Denver. Those two big guys can hit threes, but when they need buckets, they go inside and give them the ball. They have terrific handle from the free throw line and down, both of them, and they know how to score and be crafty. And I thought Mitchell Robinson did a wonderful job. The Knicks collectively did a wonderful job making him work as much as they could, and winning the game. And playoff series, you know how that is. It doesn't really start until the home team loses a game. Hopefully that doesn't take place tonight. But I just saw some very encouraging things from the Knicks in game one. I'm sure there was a lot of pressure, a lot of nervousness, those kind of things. But they prevailed in the end and take a one game to none lead in this series. And they're looking for some positive stuff to happen tonight.
CP the Franchise, Brian Gelsile here on Knicks Fan TV Live. We are talking to the great Gus Johnson. And Gus, when you talk about this win on Saturday night for the Knicks, I don't think they win this game without the play of Miles McBride. After the trade of Emmanuel Quickley, there was a huge hole on that Knicks bench that left many wondering how they would fill it, especially for a team that still wanted to compete in the East. And when Miles McBride got that opportunity, he has not looked back. And now we saw on Saturday night the best game of his career. He's had career highs against Golden State. He's had better games. With this on the biggest stage, I was impressed with Miles McBride in terms of his offense and defensively getting after Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey shooting 3 of 9 from the field against McBride and shooting 59% against the rest of the Knicks. How about Miles McBride's play on Saturday night?
Well, I think that the coaching staff led by Coach Thibodeau has done a terrific job with Miles, working him into the lineup. You know, when OG Anunoby went out, Miles had an opportunity to play extended minutes. And I remember one game he played about 45 minutes. So he got the experience during the regular season that he needed. And now we come into the playoffs, and I don't know what the plus minus situation is. You guys would know that better than me. But when McBride and when Mitchell Robinson were on the court coming off the bench, I think the Knicks showed a lot of energy, a lot of grit, made timely plays. Miles has been working so hard. And I don't know if you've ever stood next to Miles McBride. This kid is a rock. I mean, he looks like he could be a tight end or a big-time wide receiver in the NFL or a big-time, you know, defense, maybe even a defensive lineman if they put on some weight. He's strong. He's big. He's barrel-chested. And he's gaining experience and he's learning and he has more knowledge now than he had earlier during the season. So I think he's a terrific acquisition coming in for Dante DiVincenzo. You don't fear anything. As a matter of fact, when he's in, you have a little bit of better feeling defensively for the Knicks. So I just think they did a great job in game one, but we'll see as the series progresses.
You know, Gus, Steve P mentioned Miles McBride here, who was fantastic. But he kind of disguised what is the one glaring concern for the Knicks coming out of game one. And that's how well Kelly Oubre defended Jalen Brunson. I thought Oubre did a tremendous job on Brunson. 22 points on 26 shots. That's not Brunson's game. Brunson's a lot more efficient than that normally. Because Deuce did what he did, we kind of aren't talking much about how well Oubre defended Brunson. So here's my question for you. Is this a situation where, listen, Brunson definitely came out a little tight, but after he loosened up a little, he still had some struggles, and I thought it was because of the defense. Is this something where if you're Tom Thibodeau, you kind of relax and, hey, Jalen will be Jalen, need some time to get comfortable with Oubre guarding him, or do you look to put some stuff in offensively that helps Jalen get freed up a little bit more? You know, you're going to have to do some more dribble handoff stuff, maybe some off-ball stuff because Oubre's face guarding him every possession. But I kind of feel like you're going to have to maybe – it's a mix of both. But I think they're going to have to do some more off-ball screening to be able to get Brunson some space. The thing people forget about Jalen Brunson – is as good as he is with the ball in his hands, he's tremendous moving off the ball. He's great on moving without the ball. The Knicks have to start to cash in on that, I think, a little bit in this series because they can't count on 22 from Miles McBride every game. They're going to need more out of Jalen Brunson.
All right, I see you are a diehard Knicks fan and you cover this team because you're going way over the top. You know, Kelly Oubre is 6'7". So Jalen Brunson is 6'1". It's going to take some time. Yep. And then they bring in Nikola Batum to guard Jalen Brunson, and he's 6'6".
Yep.
So it's going to – the playoffs are all about adjustments. So now
– Right, but God, that's the formula, right? You guard them with size.
Hold on,
that's the formula.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, you know, they – you know, now they know what the philosophy of Philadelphia's defense is. It's regarding Jalen Brunson. And trust me, not only with the coaches, but Jalen's a very, 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 very – cerebral player. Now he's going to make adjustments because Kelly Oubre and Nikola Batum aren't the first 6'7" guys that have guarded him in his life and in his career. So I don't know what they're going to do from a schematic standpoint, but I do know that they're not going to be able to hold Jalen Brunson down for very long because the kid is so smart, so talented, so skilled, so hardworking that the Knicks are going to make the adjustments, and don't be surprised if Jalen, you know, comes up with 35 or 40 tonight and moving forward.
Yeah, that's what I see, Gus, because Jalen Brunson rarely has back-to-back off nights. And it wasn't just Brunson. The entire Nova trio, Brunson, Hart, and DiVincenzo shoot 33% from the field. And so I think Dante DiVincenzo is another guy who's going to look to bounce back tonight. Last question for you. You know, Nick Nurse, in his next day press conference, the psychology of the playoffs is what I really love, because here is Nick Nurse now making a case for more free throw attempts for his team. And when you look at the box score, Joel Embiid led all scores in free throw attempts, and the Sixers only lost the free throw battle by about 6 free throws. What do you make of Nick Nurse's plea here, and will it work in game 2?
Well, you know, I've been looking at all the games. I watched a ton of games yesterday. What I'm seeing is that the officials are allowing this game to be physical. They're not calling a lot of ticky-tack fouls, and they're not bailing guys out. I watched one game where I forget who was playing, but I felt like I was watching a football game at times. So it was very physical, and all coaches complain about calls, even when they get all the calls. That goes without saying, but that was a road game, game 1 for Nick Nurse's squad. It's another road game tonight, so this series will switch back to Philadelphia, and I'm sure that home cooking will be in practice for the Sixers when they get back to Philly. So calls usually balance themselves out by the end of the game. You know, you may have one or two that the losing team feels they should have had. Like, for example, last night in that game with Oklahoma City and New Orleans, coach of Oklahoma City was complaining about a call, the fusion. And even though he won the game in the press conference at the end, he had a lot to say about it. So coaches complain about calls. I think that's how they release their anxiety and frustration. They need somebody to yell at. And it's usually the guys in the black and pinstripe that, you know, they get out all their agita on. So, you know, I don't really pay a lot of attention to coaches and calls when it comes to making calls, but you know, this is a great series. Nick Nurse, terrific coach. He already has a championship, so he's got his guys ready for bear, and they're healthy. And hopefully Embiid will continue to be healthy for them.
There you go, man. Well, Gus, we know you're in transition, so we definitely appreciate the time. How's your schedule for the playoffs? Are you going to be working any more games this week?
Well, I have a game tomorrow, Milwaukee and Indiana in Milwaukee. Wow, Dame Lillard went off last night.
Dame
time. 35 Whoa. In the first half. That's all they needed. And we'll see how Indiana bounces back with the Pacers. They looked a little tight
Yeah.
Playoff game with a lot of young guys. First career playoff game for a lot of those young guys in Indiana. So I'm sure Rick Carlisle will try to settle them down and get them to play Pacers basketball, which is getting up and down the floor, getting a lot of shots up, putting the ball in the basket.
Absolutely, man. Well, Gus, hopefully you will make your way back to MSG because the Knicks fans certainly enjoyed Game 1's call. Great job as usual, and best of luck during the playoffs, man. Thanks again for the time.
Thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it. And go Knicks.
All right. Safe travels.
Thanks, Gus.
That was the great Gus Johnson. Salute to everybody in the chat, man. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys, CP and Brian Gelsiler on the ones and twos. Great call, man. Always love talking to Gus Johnson, Brian. Always love talking to him.
Wow, it's great. It's fantastic. And I mean, the enthusiasm, even in just doing a guest hit, is off the charts. And, you know, very positive about the Knicks. Loves the thing about Gus Johnson. It's fun to talk to and listen to guys that love their job.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that loves his freaking job. Yeah. He loves what he does. He puts excitement into it every time. And listen, this is for Knicks fans right now. This is a really, really exciting time. You draw a tough series in the first round, but, you know, that's how it works sometimes. If you want to get to where you want to get to, CP, you got to beat everybody.
Got to.
So Philly now, Philly later, what's the difference?
Doesn't matter.
You have to take them if they're going to be in your way.
Doesn't matter. Now, as we look ahead to game two, Tyrese Maxey now questionable, they say, with an illness. You don't know the status of Joel Embiid. I made the joke on Twitter that, you know, I don't know if Maxey's suffering from McBride-itis. You know, is he running from McBride? Well, what do you think about this here? Is it, you know, just the gamesmanship or the injury report? Or is Nick Nurse maybe strategically looking forward to game three to get his guys, you know, healthier?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, J.J. breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I think this is a head fake by Philly. I think they want you to think Embiid's worse than he is, and they want you to wonder what they're going to do if Maxey doesn't play. I think this is part of this is a little bit of a ploy to dial down the Knicks' intensity, if that's at all possible. I don't know that it is impossible, but I think it's one of those situations where maybe they figure if they don't think they have Embiid and or Maxey, maybe they won't prepare in the same way. I think it's a little bit of a Hail Mary. Listen, I was an outlier in picking the series, CP. I gotta tell you, dude. I picked the Knicks in five.
Woo!
Okay, and everybody's either Knicks in seven, Philly in seven.
I said six.
I took the Knicks in five. And the reason I took the Knicks in five is because there's two things involved here. And people aren't realizing this. You know, Joel Embiid has played less than five games with Kyle Lowry and Buddy Hield. Right after they came over from the trade deadline, he got hurt.
That's right.
And the thing is, these are two important guys in the rotation, especially Lowry, who's a starting point guard.
Yeah.
So you're literally in a playoff situation having two guys trying to figure out how to feel each other out. The second thing is I figured in a not fully healthy Embiid that Hartenstein and Robinson could do a good job on them.
Yeah.
And although Hartenstein didn't, Robinson did an excellent job on them. So the interesting to see how Philly adjusts here. I would think that when Mitchell Robinson's on the floor, they're going to try to put Embiid in physical situations with him to draw fouls.
Yeah.
Because one spot where Mitchell Robinson is susceptible to getting in trouble is he gets in foul trouble.
The discipline.
And if I'm Philly, CP, I want Hartenstein on the floor against Embiid as much as possible because that's going to allow Joel to do exactly what he wants to do. I also got to figure out, here's the other part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, Tobias Harris was really good last year in the playoffs, right? He's been a no-show since Embiid went out hurt, and even in these playoffs, couple rebounds, but offensively, he seems really hesitant, and that surprises me in all this. I kind of feel like I look at, because if you look at how Philly scored, Maxey had 33, Embiid had 28, Larry had 18. That Larry 18 is an outlier.
Right, that's right.
That's not going to repeat. Just like the McBride points were an outlier for the Knicks, but so was Brunson's 22.
Right. Right.
So that kind of cancels each other out. Where's Philly getting those points if those points don't come from Kyle Lowry? And that answer's got to be either Tobias Harris or Hield. And so I kind of feel like you need something outside Embiid that you can rely on a little bit. I know Ananobi's the guy guarding him. I know you're going at the Knicks' best defensive player, but maybe you get him in foul trouble. I think Philly's got to start to think, and Nick Nurse is great at this. They got to start to think a little bit outside the box, away from how they've played all year. But it's just a little tough when you have Embiid with what are brand-new rotation players to him trying to win playoff games in a garden on the fly.
CP the Franchise, Brian Gelsiler on the ones and twos. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Gel said Knicks in five. Knicks Nation, throw a five in the chat, man. I know you. That's music to your ears. So make sure you guys throw a five in the chat to salute Gels. If you guys are on the lunchtime grind here on this Monday afternoon, beautiful afternoon here in New York City, throw a hashtag grind in the chat. And I'll shout you guys out, man. Also, the phone lines are up. If you guys want to get some quick thoughts on game two, call us up on the Discord, or you can call in 657-383-1509. And Gels, on the supporting cast front, here was Nick Nurse after this was game one in his post-game press conference, speaking on the supporting cast and their need to step up. Here he is.
Tobias only took seven shots last night. I guess, like, how do you kind of maybe get him involved a little bit more on the offensive end of the floor?
Just going to matter who, because I don't, like, he needs to get involved. Nico needs to get involved. Kelly needs to get involved. Like there's a lot more. Buddy needs to get involved. Like, there's a lot more people who need to get involved.
All right, so Nick Nurse seemingly challenging his team. 3-for-7 for Tobias Harris in game one, 7 points. Buddy Hield was the most surprising one. 1 3-point attempt from one of the best shooters in league history. I think that's going to change. I have to think you're going to see a much more aggressive Buddy Hield tonight. Tobias Harris as well. Kelly Oubre, 3-for-7, 10 points. So between those guys, you get, you know, 6 of 16, between those three guys.
Yeah, and you're going to need one of them to have a 15-point scoring performance.
Yeah.
Think about it this way, CP. In the same way the Knicks need 12 to 15 a night out of Bogdanovich off the bench, is that Philly needs like a 15 to an 18 from one of Lowry, Oubre, and Harris. I know Nick Nurse threw Batum in there. Listen, Nicholas Batum's a really good player and a glue guy and helps you out in the playoffs. Counting on Batum to put 15 or 18 you're not going to.
No.
And nor should you.
Yeah.
But he challenged him along with those guys because he's going to get the same kind of minutes as those guys. Oubre is the interesting one to me. First of all, I thought he did a super job on Brunson. I respectfully disagreed with Gus in the fact that it seemed to me more than just I have to get used to it.
Yeah.
It was a guy that had an idea. He had studied Brunson well. He knew some tendencies. And there are going to have to be some changes. But I'll also say this. This is one of the reasons that you have the Villanova Mafia with the Knicks.
Yeah.
Because when Brunson needs a little bit of help, who knows him better than Hart and DiVincenzo?
That's it.
Who's, you know, those guys will help him get into the spots that he wants to get to, like they've been doing since they were back at Villanova.
Right.
So you'll get a little bit of that. But Oubre is interesting on both ends of the floor. Because, listen, Oubre, he has never met a shot he didn't like.
That's right.
Does not like the pass. But if you can get him the ball in some spots here where he can get to the basket because he's so darn athletic and he finishes nicely, you know, my point is this. A little bit of selfishness out of Oubre could serve the Sixers pretty well on the offensive end of the floor. And I think to Nurse's point, Nurse says that and challenges the supporting cast because he knows what you and I just said. The Kyle Lowry 18 points was a flat-out outlier, and he's throwing darts at a board to figure out how he's going to replace it. Where Tom, on the other end, has stabilized the Bogdanovich situation on the defensive end of the floor just enough that he can play him 20 to 25 minutes and get the 12 to 15 out of him.
There you go.
You know, CP, you do the math, dude. Those 12 to 15 out of Bogdanovich are vital.
Vital.
No one else is going to score enough except for Brunson. You have to get those points. And the why his defense is so important, because it's not that he's a good defensive player. He's the opposite. He's a poor defensive player.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is, but he's got to give effort. And if he's not giving the appropriate effort on the end of the floor, Tom won't even play him. Tom doesn't have patience for that, nor do I blame him. That's part of the culture of the Knicks. So the Bogdanovich piece is so, so vital for the Knicks. It'll be really interesting to see, you know, what the Oubre Harris poo-poo platter decides to produce here for Philly in game two.
Well, you know, the game two adjustments, you would think that they're going to come out much more intense and play with some desperation. So the Knicks need to keep their foot on the gas. You know, what I saw from that Knicks starting crew, especially with Brunson DiVincenzo, I thought they were mainly tight. You know, even though Oubre definitely did a good job on him and the wings will bother him, I still thought that Brunson was able to get to his spots and really miss some bunnies that on a normal night, he's going to cash in. But I like what you said there in that getting him more in off-ball movement, running Oubre through some screens, tiring him out, especially early in the game, and getting Brunson in more off-ball situations where Hartenstein and Hart can find him. Those are your two best playmakers in that starting unit. I think that'll bode well for the Knicks. Also, running out in transition, getting him in transition threes where you may have some numbers offset. Maybe you're on a, you know, 5-on-3 situation or so on and so forth. You get Brunson out there so he can get knocked down some transition threes. So I think they'll certainly be okay. I don't expect DiVincenzo to have an off night like that. You know, Hart is the interesting one, man. He's been my playoff X factor. And there was an article that came out today, I think it was by Fred Katz of The Athletic, that talked about Hart saying he's got to stop thinking so much and just start playing. And I felt like that's what we saw in the second half, where he was just stepping into his threes, knocking them down. Whereas in the first half, you saw him mixed up. You know, does he want to shoot? Does he want to pass? That's when Josh Hart becomes a detriment on the offensive end. In the second half, he was just unconscious. That's the guy that they need going forward.
Yeah, keep in mind, one of the best rebounding wings in the league.
Yeah.
All right? And in the absence of Julius Randle, he's vital.
Vital.
Because of what he does on the defensive glass. You have to have him.
Yep.
So he's one of those guys, even when he doesn't have it going, doesn't look great, you're going to have to live with him. You're going to have to play him. He's going to get his full complement. He's going to get his 40 minutes. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned adjustments. If I'm Philly, one of my offensive adjustments is I'm going to come out early in the game and I'm going to run some stuff for Oubre and see how that works. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to run some stuff for Harris. Now you say, well, why would you do that when you start the game with the matchup advantage of Hartenstein on Embiid? Well, the reason I'm going to do that is because if I'm going to go to Embiid early, often, and pretty much the entire game, eventually the Knicks are going to collapse on him. He's going to have to start to pass the ball.
Yeah.
If I'm Philly and Oubre hasn't had a lot of shot attempts and Harris hasn't had a lot of shot attempts, and even Maxey to a lesser extent, because I've been hammering the ball into Embiid, I got cold guys there at that point in the game who may or may not have rhythm. What I'd like to do if I'm Philly is let me get some rhythm here early, okay? Mm-hmm. Let me get a little bit of rhythm here early. Once I get some rhythm going, from there, then I can start to pound Embiid, because Oubre and Harris may get feel, one of them may get going a little bit, and all of a sudden, if you know, you got to pay a little bit of attention to them, which means a little bit of less attention on Embiid, and now you got the Knicks scrambling defensively a little bit. You know, Philly was never able to establish that in game one. I think it's vital for them to establish here in game two. You just need to have something that you can count on offensively off Embiid. Really, it's been a big theme, CP, of these playoffs. Star players producing, secondary players really, really struggling and not supporting the star players in the way you need them to.
No question about it. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys, CP and Brian on the ones and twos. I want to shout out Wise Guy in the chat. He's on the grind, man. Jake from State Farm Lopez. Shout out to Jake from State Farm Lopez. Two Lifted, Will Latimer, Brightest Future. How's everybody doing? Shamik Boyd, how's everybody doing, man? Everybody is on the grind, but ready for the 7:30 p.m. tip-off. You know, funny thing on these Knicks here, girls. Thibodeau. The coach's poll has once again been released, and Tom Thibodeau finds himself on the bottom, or really at the top. A league-wide anonymous poll, the coach they would least like to play for, Tom Thibodeau. You know, the guy who, to me, this is his best job as a coach with the Knicks by far, based on what they've gone through. You see all these guys, his big three lieutenants running through a wall for him. Julius Randle speaking highly of him. Jalen Brunson. Josh Hart today on Twitter saying, you know, all of the adversity we went through, and this guy's not even in consideration for Coach of the Year. So all of this that Tibbs has done, the adjustments that he's made to the modern game, the fact that the team has continued to play hard for him, and yet no one in the league wants to play for him. What do you make of that, man?
Well, first of all, what I make of it is that there's a lot of players who don't want to work as hard as they need to work. That's what I look at from moment one. Because if you do want to meet the work ethic that Tom demands of you, he will make you a better player and he will make you get paid. Keep in mind this, the only big contract Nate Robinson ever got in his career didn't come after he played for the Knicks. Really? It came after he filled in for Derrick Rose on the Bulls. Okay? Tom got DJ Augustine paid, a career-long journeyman.
True.
Tom, if you buy in to what Tom is selling, he will get you paid. And there's four guys on this Knicks team this year that rolled up their sleeves and bought into what Tom was selling. And they're four guys that improved as much as anybody in the league as individual players. All right. Obviously, Isaiah Hartenstein's one of them who did a fantastic job. Josh Hart's another one who had an increased offensive role with Randall out and I thought excelled in it. Dante DiVincenzo to a similar extent, but he became a three-point specialist, but someone that would create off the bounce. And I actually think the improvement with DiVincenzo that no one talks about is how good he got defensively. Mm. He is excellent defensively. So I think that plays a big role. And then the last one, who hasn't been here that long, is Precious Achiuwa. Precious Achiuwa has had the best stretch of his career since he's come to the Knicks. And listen, one of the reasons is he was miscast as a five. He's a little light for a five in today's NBA. But Tom found a role for him as a hybrid 4-5. He could play with Hartenstein. Precious Achiuwa can do everything on a basketball court but shoot from the outside. So he'll score inside, he'll rebound, he offensive rebounds, he switches great onto guards on the perimeter. He's a really active, good defensive player. Tom's got a tremendous amount of confidence in him on that end of the floor. But here's my point. So there's four guys on this Knicks team that bought in, okay?
Yeah.
Two of them are going to get paid off at Achiuwa and Hartenstein, all right? Two of them already got paid, okay? Hart was here and improved under Tom and got paid. DiVincenzo, they paid probably more than what his market value was and what was a leap of faith. Now it looks like a bargain.
Like, huge bargain,
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So like, the guy's not wanting to play for Tom. You don't want to play for Tom. You don't want to work. Like, that's the way I look at it. The coach of the year thing is a tad confounding. Because I had Tom on my list. I had a number three. I voted for Mark Dagnall as my first one and for Chris Finch as my second. So I'm not completely bent out of shape that he didn't land on that list just because I know Jamal Moses, the third guy on the list. He did a very good job. Yes. Carlisle did a great job in Indiana. Joe Mazzulla did a really nice job in Boston. You know, there's a lot of guys. Mike Malone is always one of the top coaches. I thought Ty Lue had a tough situation to manage on the fly. He did a really good job. My point is, a lot of guys' name could have been thrown in that mix. And I don't think that's a huge indictment of Tom because of the volume of really good coaching jobs that happened in the NBA this year. So the player survey thing is a head scratcher to me, but it just goes to show you, you know, there's guys that don't want to work hard on improving their game. But if you don't want to work hard on improving your game, Tom Thibodeau is your worst nightmare.
Well said. Well said. I mean, guys having career years, Julius Randle, three-time All-Star, Brunson making his first All-Star. He's going to get $50 million on his next max deal. Emmanuel Quickley's next deal, I think he can owe Tom Thibodeau a lot of gifts. Give Tom Thibodeau a lot of credit. I think RJ Barrett had improved. Mitchell Robinson, Isaiah Hartenstein. I mean,
Deuce McBride.
Now, Deuce's deal looks like a bargain. I mean, how do you tear that up? That one doesn't set in until next year. They need a redo on the Deuce contract. So the guy deserves a ton of credit. And speaking of, you know, this league poll being weird, how about Donovan Mitchell getting more MVP votes than Jalen Brunson?
I find that odd.
That's weird, man.
First of all, I had Brunson fourth on my MVP votes, and I also had him first team All NBA. Yeah. I don't see how you can listen to Donovan Mitchell and play enough games, but I like Donovan Mitchell a lot as a player. But I think what happens sometimes is players that look from a distance don't necessarily understand how guys impact teammates.
True, true.
And Donovan Mitchell is not, from a leadership standpoint, he's getting better at it. He was better at it younger in his career, and then he decided he was a big star and all of a sudden became somewhat unapproachable to teammates. And now he's kind of figuring out, mostly because he's in a situation where he's got a guard in the backcourt that doesn't like him at all,
yeah,
which is
yeah.
kind of becoming the common theme wherever Donovan Mitchell goes. Mm. But so Mitchell, I think, has lightened up a little bit with the teammates here. But like, I think guys from the outside don't play with a guy, don't always realize that Jalen Brunson is beloved by his teammates. He's a leader, but he's a leader by example. He's positive as positive could be. And he just embodies Tom Thibodeau's whole attitude about basketball and how hard he works. So I kind of look at something like that. And again, I think it's players looking, you know, talent yeah. for talent, skill for skill, not necessarily understanding the off-court impact and what certain guys do for team chemistry versus others.
That's a great point, especially on a night-to-night basis. That's certainly overlooked. Great point there. So to everyone in the chat once again, CP the Franchise, Brian Gelsiler on the ones and twos. Brian, let's recap the weekend. What was your most, on the East playoff bracket, what was the game that, or the win that impressed you the most?
Well, all right. So listen, I think there were a couple of outliers and there were a couple of non-outliers. Boston beating Miami was absolutely a non-outlier.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of faith in the Cavs. I thought the Cavs.
Me neither.
Like, holding Orlando to 83, and Orlando's offensively challenged, but I thought the Cavs holding Orlando to 83. I'm hesitant to say the Bucks in this respect, CP, because I think that may have been, I think that was an outlier. I think they just shot the ball really well in the first half. And I think Indiana was a little tight. Two things I saw this weekend, one in the East, one in the West, that I just don't think remain. You had horrible offensive first half for Indiana, horrible offensive first half for Dallas. You're just not going to see that out of either of those teams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're both going to play better than they did. I still like Indiana in six in that series. I didn't see so much from Milwaukee last night to make me think that they were so overmatched. I am a little bit concerned how poor Tyrese Halliburton played. He did not look good at all. And so if he's been playing possum late in the season, probably not. He's just not healthy or maybe not the same guy here. I mean, he's a young guy. I'm sure this is injury-based more than anything else. But he did not really look good at all. Again, the Boston-Miami series, Miami may get one just because Boston takes all those threes. So one game, maybe they go 12 for 49 and Miami sneaks it in.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, like, beyond that, that's all you're going to see there. And again, Milwaukee Indy, I think, is going to be a long one. And I think we're going to hear more from the Orlando Magic here. This is a team that's built very well for the playoffs. They're really good defensively. They have to find the ability to score well enough. The problem they have in this series is that Evan Mobley can match up really well on Paolo Banchero.
Yeah.
And if they can't get, you know, if Paolo can't create buckets late in the shot clock for them, they don't have enough offensive firepower, you know, to advance. So to me, that's going to be the most compelling thing in the East. But I'm not going to be one of these guys that tells you right now. I've been killing Dame Lillard all year.
Yeah.
Okay. One half of 35 points where he gets hot doesn't have me thinking that in game one of the first round of the playoffs, it's Dame time all over again.
Yeah.
And he's back. Talk to me if we're in the conference finals and this is still happening.
How about the West, man? How about the Pelicans taking the Thunder to the wire? You know, if it wasn't for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's heroics, Thunder turning the ball all over the place in crunch time. What'd you think about that one?
It's, you know what? Thunder, they won the game, but they lost the tempo war. I think that because for the Thunder, this young team, they do really well running it up and down the floor. Now, again, they have a late game weapon. And I'm not for isolating guys late in games. If I'm the Thunder, it's Gilgeous-Alexander's strength. And he finds his way into contested mid-range jumpers and hits them consistently. Like, so they have that weapon. But they didn't get up and down the floor well at all last night.
No.
And the Pelicans slowed them down. The Pelicans, they were determined from moment one to turn the game into a rock fight.
Yeah.
And they did a really, really good job of this. Because the other thing with the Pelicans is this, and why the matchup is good for them, like, they'll bring Valanciunas in and pound you inside like they did. And then late in the game, when you got to worry about switching on to Gilgeous-Alexander and that they're concerned with the fact of, well, we'll put Valanciunas in a pick and roll because we want him on Gilgeous-Alexander, Willie Green just says, all right, we'll put Larry Nance in. So go ahead. You want to switch on to Larry Nance? Larry Nance switches nicely, CP.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I kind of look at the Pelicans here. They had a really good game plan. And again, I like Mark Daigneault. I think he's done a super job. I thought he got out coached last night. They won the game, but I thought he got out coached last night. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens tempo-wise, because the Pelicans are going to fight. As long as they don't have Zion, even if they do have Zion, they're going to fight to keep these games slower and lower scoring. If I'm OKC, I want to get out, shoot threes in transition, and run.
I really wish Zion can get healthy, man. I loved that, you know, how he looked in that first playing game, the intensity in which he brought to that game, and just really trying to step up on the main stage. The league needs it. I think the league would be in a better place to see Zion Williamson just consistently stay at the top of the sport. But, you know, because with the physicality, I thought that was also an issue for the Pels. They lost the rebounding battle. You got to deal with Valanciunas. You bring Zion in there, and this could be a tough series for a inexperienced but talented Thunder team.
It's going to be a tough series for the Thunder team anyway, CP. Okay? The thing is, with Zion, they have the go-to offensive option that they need. Listen, Brandon Ingram is it's one of the more bizarre players I've ever seen in my life.
You can't figure him out, man.
4 to 5 minute periods of time where you're like, is this dude Kevin Durant? Okay? And then you'll have 4 to 5 periods of time where you're like, what shot did he just miss?
Where did
he just throw that pass? Like, he's so wildly inconsistent. And listen, some of it is conditioning and injuries right now. But in this spot in the playoffs, the thing for the Pelicans here, the only guy that's the man on the Pelicans is Zion. If you don't have Zion on the floor, you can't be like CJ McCollum ran an ISO late in that game. Pretty much last possession.
Yeah.
It was such a garbage ISO.
Yeah.
And the thing is, CJ McCollum at this stage of his career, he's not getting
there. He's not there.
You know what? Whether it's Shea, Jalen Williams, Dort, any of those guys could get in front of him. Why are you not running action? And the thing that puzzles me is earlier in the season, down the stretch of games, they were running two-man pick-and-roll actions with Ingram and Williams and Williamson. Both of them having the ball at different points in time, just mixing things up. So I kind of wondered a little bit about that late game call. I don't think that went that well for New Orleans in terms of what they called and how they did it. But the fact that they were right there at the end, I love this Trey Murphy, man. He is some kind of player just because he always adds something positive.
Yeah.
He hits open threes, he rebounds, he defends, and he doesn't try to play outside of who he is. Very, very good self-awareness there. Listen, I think the Pels will make this a tough series. I don't think that was an outlier at all. Oklahoma City looked every bit the inexperienced team in the playoffs last night. Very hard to get that going on the fly. Even if OKC wins this series, I can't imagine them beating Dallas or the Clippers in the second round.
How about the Timberwolves smoking the Suns, man? 120-95. You had Ant-Man with 33-9-6. He's going at it with Kevin Durant. You can't guard me. You too old. What do you think about that one, man? Were you disappointed in the Suns' effort, or is that another outlier here?
So both, okay? I think it was a little bit of an outlier. I think the Suns should keep these games closer. But I did not like the Suns in this series coming in. And it was the main reason was something that I saw in this game. Listen, the Suns' two most important players in any game or playoff series will always be Durant and Devin Booker.
Yes.
And we can debate till the cows come home which one's more important. But it's always going to be those two guys. Here's their problem in the series. Their third most important player is not Bradley Beal. It's Yusuf Nurkic.
Yeah.
That's a problem because you're going against two ultra athletic, really good 7-foot centers. One of them is the best defensive center in the league, the best defensive player in the league, in Rudy Gobert. The other one is as probably the best 7-foot shooter in the league, in Karl Anthony Towns. So Nurkic has to do a lot. He's got to do a lot on the glass. He's got to do a lot defensively. You can only play exclusively drop defense with Nurkic in the game because he can't switch onto the perimeter. Nurkic looks slow. He looked old. He looked terrible. And in the end, if Nurkic is going to have more games like that than he has games where he can get 15 rebounds and actually help him out with some assists, that's going to be a huge problem for them. Because here's the other issue with Nurkic. He's averaging 2.1 turnovers a game, all right? That doesn't tell the whole story. His turnover percentage is 19%. 90% of his touches, he's turning the ball over. Yeah. Okay? Like, you can't – and then they want to run offense, throw him out high.
Yeah.
You can't have that, and you can't do that. Listen, a lot of people are going to turn around and say, the shallow narrative that the Suns is, well, they don't have a point guard. That's a problem. Devin Booker's played great at point guard for them this year. He really has. He's handled it well. He's been able to score while he's done it. He's done a really good job. And his turnover percentage is, I think, the second lowest of his career. So he's done a great job there. And they, by the way, and they're in the mid-20s in turnovers in the league. They turn over a ton. Okay, but it's not Devin Booker. It's Nurkic and it's Durant. I'll live with Durant's turnovers because of everything else he does. I can't live with Yusuf Nurkic having those turnovers when there's so much that goes against them on the defensive end of the floor. So, listen, I picked Minnesota in seven because I still have a lot of faith in the player that Kevin Durant is and Booker as well. And that's why I do think it was a little bit of an outlier. But there are things that I saw in that game that concern me for the Suns going into the series that only concern me more now.
Yeah. Great points, man. Great points. Well, we got an action-packed night here in night two of the playoffs, man. And Brian, hopefully you come back and join us and recap some more Knick games. Thanks again for the time, man. Always appreciate your insight and always love working with you, man. We opened up the show. We interviewed Gus Johnson. You know, great times, man. I love this, man.
Dude, CP, I love joining you, and your listeners and your fans are outstanding. They always reach out to me on X, Twitter, whatever. Love having that. So anytime you want me back, pal, you let me know. I'll be happy to be here. You do a great job.
Absolutely, man. Thanks again for the time. Everybody in the chat,
you can
follow him, BGels at BGels NBA on X, Twitter. And thanks again, Brian, for the time, man. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for your boy, CP the Franchise here. What do you guys think about today's show, man? Let me know, man. Give me a thumbs up or something. Let me know your thoughts. I definitely enjoyed it. Hope you guys did as well. Great show. Great show, man. Couple housekeeping before you guys go. Before you guys get out of here, a couple housekeeping items. The KFTV Watch Party. The KFTV Watch Party is on tonight at Sucker Punch. That is the venue. You guys know where we're going to be at. I will be there tonight. I won't be at the Garden tonight. I will be at Sucker Punch. So if you guys want to come to the Watch Party, go to kftvwatch.com to get your tickets. I'll be there. I'll be there vibing with the people. Let's watch this game together and let's get a Knicks win. So if you guys are looking to pull up, go to kftvwatch.com. My franchise channel members, if you are a franchise channel member, you guys can come rock with me just as a perk, man. I want you guys in the building with me. So make sure you guys email me and let me know for sure that you're going to be coming in so that I can make the proper arrangements here, okay? So that's for my franchise channel members. That's for my day ones. Make sure you guys hit me up and let me know that that you will be in the building so that I can accommodate you accordingly. I'm just getting my screens together here, so just give me 1 second as I rearrange things. Thanks again to Brian Gelsiler for coming through. Thanks again to Gus Johnson, huh? My boy Gus, this is what we do. Didn't I tell you he was going to get content after content after content? From last week on, it is not going to stop. Number one show for the fans, by the fans, for a reason. All right? We are working hard to get you guys, the people, to get you guys the insight and to get you guys the fire content. Number one show for the fans, by the fans. So, game two, Watch Party at Sucker Punch here in New York City. You can still get tickets, kftvwatch.com. We will be doing a happy hour from 6 to 7. $7 draft beers, $7 mixed drinks, and $7 bottle beers and shots. So, hey, it's a nice way to set the tone if you're into that. Not encouraging alcohol consumption, but if you're grown and responsible, hey, we got it for you, man, at Sucker Punch. I'll be there around 5:36, so make sure you guys pull up. Also, the merch, KFTV merch, man. We are doing a restock right after today's show. I'm going to get on the phone with the printer and order more merch for you guys. So if you guys want merch, you go to shop.knicksfantv.com, shop our playoff collection. If you see that your size is sold out, there is an option for you to pre-order. Just hit the pre-order button and your merch is going to be coming out fast. All right. I'm making sure that you guys get your merch by game four at the very least. A lot of you guys got your merch already. A lot of you guys that made your orders definitely have your merch or will be getting your merch by today. So I'll show you a quick example on the shop page here. Some of these are out of stock, like this small KFTV shirt, New York versus the World shirt. It's got New York versus the World in the front, the graphic on the back. Shout out to my guy, Chris Murray. Great job. And you got the custom tags. The small is out of stock right here, right? It says out of stock. You just hit the pre-order box. Hit the pre-order box and you can order it just like normal. The reason why we're doing that is so that we know exactly how much that we need to reorder with the vendor. Also, If you are coming to the watch party tonight, I will be bringing merch with me. Stay in tune with the KFTV story. I'll let you guys know what sizes I have left and that I'll be bringing physically to the venue. So if you guys are coming to the watch party and you want to save on shipping, let me know what sizes you need. I'm going to put a story up on Instagram, let you know exactly what sizes that we have left. And then you guys can let me know what you need, and I'll bring it for you. If you guys need KFTV snaps, I have a couple more New York versus the World snaps. I have some KFTV snaps as well, black, navy, and blue. So make sure that you guys are getting that. Let me get another thing for you guys. So to everybody in the chat, you know, when we go to MSG, they hand out the playoff memorabilia. So for our franchise channel members, this month's April franchise channel member giveaway, I'm giving you a piece of the garden, man. Piece of the memory from game one's win. This was the t-shirt that they had, that they hung over the chairs. I'm giving it to you. I don't even have one for myself. This is going to a franchise channel member. Also, this, remember last year's Slam edition, the Kith's edition in the plastic, and also this year's Kith edition, limited edition poster. So all three of these is going to come in a pack. For our franchise channel members, we're going to give it away at the end of the month. So make sure that you guys are hitting the join button. Join the franchise channel memberships, $4.99 a month. Cheaper than a cup of coffee at Starbucks. And we're much better for your health. All right? We're much better for your health. So for our franchise channel members, this is for you guys. So make sure you guys are signing up. And we're going to announce, we're going to do the giveaway at the end of the month. And one lucky person is going to go away with that merch. So just a couple of housekeeping items. Once again, we appreciate everybody's support. We appreciate everybody for donating, for supporting, like, share, subscribe, all of that. And also support our sponsors, man. Number one, salute to Jordan Craig. Go to jordancraig.com. Use our code KFTV20 for 20% off your first order. Shout out my guy Junius Valentine and the good people at jordancraig.com. And another thing at Jordan Craig, they are giving away a $250 shopping spree at jordancraig.com. So all you got to do is just go to the website, jordancraig.com, and sign up. You'll see the sign up landing page right there. You just sign up, you put your email in, and the winner will be announced in next week's episode of Knicks Weekly. So make sure you guys sign up for that. Also, shout out to our sponsors at Manscaped. You know the deal, man. 20% off plus free shipping. Go to manscaped.com. Use our code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping there. Okay? And then lastly, play-by-play is back tonight. JD Sports Talk. And our good friends at KFTV, man. Play-by-play live, Knicks versus Sixers game 2. Get your picks in before tip-off, man. Last Saturday, on Saturday's game 1, Underdog had a sale on Jalen Brunson points. They dropped it from 31.5 to 27.5 points. So tonight, make your picks. Play your fantasy draft if that's what you're into. But use our code when you sign up, man, KFTV, and they will give you a 100 deposit match, a instant deposit match of up to $100. Pick them, watch them, win them at Underdog Fantasy, man. And look, play responsibly. That's all we say. You know, if this is what you're into, this is what you like to do, just play responsibly, man. All right? So let me salute. Oh, wait a minute here. I got a call here. Stilico in the Discord. Stilico, go ahead and unmute your mic, man.
Hey, CP.
What's up, man? How you feeling, bro?
I've been sitting here since before Brian left. Don't okay. Mean to interrupt. No
worries, man. Come on, man. Let's go.
These matinee shows are goated.
Appreciate it.
I just wish that they came a little bit earlier because my planning period doesn't let me get out in time. But
okay. What do you do? You teach?
Yeah, I teach.
Okay, well, hey, good for you, man. We need more like you, man. Good stuff, bro.
But I just gotta say, first and foremost, speaking of me teaching, I've been telling my students all week, they've been making fun of me because I'm a Knicks fan, and they keep telling me who's gonna guard Joel Embiid. And all week long, I've told them it's going to be his own knees.
Yay, that's a good comeback, man. That's a good comeback, yeah.
But listen, we're already getting some good series. I like everything that that Brian's been saying. He's on point with it. These series have been fantastic. We're in for some good playoff games, especially starting tonight, because I don't think Philly's going to want to let us go 2-0.
I don't want to see this team get overconfident, man. We need a big Brunson game tonight, and I think it's going to come. Like, Oubre and all that is nice, and yes, the wings will give him some trouble, but as long as you got Embiid there in the drops, Brunson's going to get to his spots. He's going to be able to knock down his shots. I do expect him to run some more off-ball actions to get to free him up, but they need to step on it. They need to step on the gas. I did not like how the Knicks starters looked for the three quarters. You know, you had the Nova three that were not effective offensively. OG getting into foul trouble, and Hartenstein also getting into foul trouble. On top of that, his floater wasn't really on point. So I expect a big, big showing from the starting five, because you can't look, as great as McBride has been, Bogdanovich, Bodega was nice. You can't, you know, don't rely on them for the playoffs. Don't lean on them. Yes, it'll be great if they have great games, but your starters have to deliver and be impactful. Knicks had a 3-point deficit going into the fourth quarter. They could have lost that game. And it would have been a bad loss, too, especially with the Embiid injury and the statistics showing that, you know, the team that wins game one wins the series 77% of the time. So you can't take any chances here. They've got to come out with force and run this team out of the gym. I really believe that they can do that, but it's up to them to put in the effort and the intensity, man. Who's your key for tonight?
Who's my what tonight?
Who's your key? Who's your key player for tonight or key factor for tonight?
I mean, I'm sticking with Josh Hart.
Okay.
Without Julius, it really depends on us being able to make plays when Jalen's off the floor.
Yeah.
And he's our, like it or not, without Julius, he's our second best playmaker, honestly.
Yeah.
He can make reads like few other people on our roster can right now. So it's not a question of whether he's so much doing that to me as it is he also making his shots? Because yeah. If he does everything else like we know that he can do, and he's also making his shots, we're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Regardless of what else is going on. Now, that said, Jalen, please God, hit your shots.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, man. I'm going to let you get back to class, man. The kids need you. You got to get back to teaching, man. Lock in tonight on postgame. Call back on postgame. But the kids need you right now. So finish up the lessons plans, and we'll chop it up tonight, man.
Sir, yes, sir.
Still a goat on the Discord, man. Salute to you. He's a franchise channel member, man, so we got to get him in. Son from Brooklyn. Son, you pulling up on us at the watch party. What's good? Let me chop it up with some people in the chat. Son from Brooklyn, are you coming through? What's good? Joe Schmo said somebody stole his t-shirt and towel at the game one. Yeah, that's why you got to get there early, because people will swipe your joint. So luckily, you know, we have some friends there at MSG that looked out for us, because we got there a little bit late. Our shirts, we thought were gone, but we did get them, and we did get towels eventually. So shout out to all of our friends at MSG for looking out for us. Some more franchise channel members. Nixon Dimes says back to work. Salute. John Talento. Salute Shahid. Will Latimer. Will says his shirt is coming through. Yeah, Will, I saw your name, and I made sure I got your stuff out there on time, man. JRose712, salute. Shout out to OG Jimmy Walker, man. If you're out there listening, man, salute to you. I hope everything is doing well. JJ from Brooklyn. My two cents. Check it in. KFTV killing it on all fronts, man. This is that time of year. It's our time, man. D-Block 1755. Appreciate you. Who else we got in here, man? Raymond Diaz. Appreciate it. Yes, if you missed the Gus Johnson interview, go ahead and jump in the replay, gang. Right at the beginning. Gus tapped in with us from the airport, I think. He was traveling. Gus told us he was traveling, so shout out to Gus, and we appreciate him for making the time for us, man. Talento says we need Brian Gelsile on NBA Report. Absolutely. Absolutely. STG Nick, he says, I'll be there tonight at MSG. Okay. Make sure you shout out KFTV when you get there, man. Watch party tickets at KFTVWatch.com. KFTVWatch.com. Like I said, I will be bringing merch as well, so if you want to save on shipping on your playoff merch, look out for the announcement in terms of the sizes that are available. I got to do an inventory right now. Then I got to call up my printer and make an order. So that's the next assignment, man. CP's working all the way up until game time, guys. Christopher Blake, salute. He says, what did I miss? Somebody tell Christopher Blake what he missed. You need to jump in with the replay gang, sir. But I know you don't miss a show anyway. So anyway, remember that the show is available in audio podcast format, guys. No reason to miss it. Appreciate Gus Johnson. Appreciate Brian Gelsile for their time. And make sure you guys like, share, subscribe, man. We need all hands on deck. Your support is crucial to making this channel run. And we appreciate it, man. Franchise, I'm out of here. Let's go, Knicks. Game 2, baby. Let's go.